everybody. We're back. Told you about the budget, $212.2 billion in passing. Will be signed by the governor, ASAP, no question about it. How does it affect the schools? We will discuss right now. Brian Fessler, New York State School Boards Association, nice enough to give us a couple here. Brian, welcome aboard. From all situations, in compliance, it looks like. It looks like everybody's kind of pleased. With some of these numbers, the windfall and everything else, what it represents for the upcoming fiscal year. Good. What do you think?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. Yeah, I think I have to agree with you. There's a lot to be excited about in terms of funding for our school districts. A $1.5 billion increase in one of the main operating aid categories that school districts statewide use. That's a record level increase in aid numbers that we haven't seen in a really long time for our school districts, much different than, the situation that we are all expecting to be in just 4, 5, 6 months ago. So a lot to be excited about, a lot to be happy about, and it creates a lot of positive opportunities, to support the ongoing educational needs of our students statewide.
It looks like it's a record investment into the system, no question. So the school's gaining, $400 million. That's the windfall from the financial aid for fiscal year. And when you're looking at the total dollars, Brian Fessler, that's to public pre-K-12, Nassau and Suffolk is due to rise. I think it's 13%. Is that right? So that's to more than about $3.5 billion, a little more than that, but about a 13% increase for next year. Is that in place?
Yeah, that's between the two counties on the entirety of the island. Just about a 13% increase. Like I said, the majority of that is driven through our main aid category called foundation aid. It's something that education advocacy groups like ours have talked about for a decade and a half or so to achieve full funding of this main school aid stream. So not only do we see record level increases, about 13% or so, like you said, for districts in totality on the island, but the budget also committed to fully funding that formula over a 3-year time period, which is something, always in the short term, the money is great, but we always want a commitment from the legislature and from the governor to achieve full funding. So we got both of those in this budget. So we're very, very excited and very happy. Like I said, the state and federal support through previous stimulus packages over the past few months really are going to help school districts meet the needs, associated with the pandemic over the past year, but really invest in a number of great opportunities for programs and services for our students in the years to come.
Biggest fear, and that is the usage of those dollars. Will it be for immediate use? And I was kind of reading about this. Some aides to the governor had said they might have to kind of withhold 20% of the aid to districts due to the uncertain cash flow. Is that accurate in itself as far as withholding here?
Yeah, I think fortunately so far that's now off the table. School districts this past summer began to see some withholding of aid, like you said, because of the state's cash flow problem associated with the pandemic. And really up until November or December of this past year, we were hearing constant refrains from the governor about the possibility of a true 20% state aid cut to schools. That would be about $5 or $6 billion statewide. I mean, really an absolutely devastating number. But with the December 2020 stimulus package, obviously last month, renewed stimulus package, the ARPA Act, plus, the numbers that we see from state aid in the budget, not only are we kind of away from that 20% cut possibility, but now we're night and day. So instead of kind of doomsday, we're seeing, as you noted, one of the best budgets in terms of, educational support and fiscal support for schools that we've seen in a really, really long time. So really just a complete night and day scenario compared to where we were 5 or 6 months ago.
I was reading where, this was kind of somewhat unexpected. I think a lot of superintendents were surprised at some of the numbers, Brian. So in essence, Do they go kind of go back and sharpen the pencil a little bit and maybe subtract as far as, you know, where they need to be, you know, as far as being a little more stingent, maybe a little less now based on the fact, hey, you know what? We're getting a bit of a windfall here. Maybe I should kind of lessen the approach. What about that mindset as far as some of the top officials in and around the district?
Yeah, I think there are going to be a lot of conversations, you know, that obviously have been ongoing, but are going to occur with a lot more focus and intensity over the next couple months leading up until next month's school budget vote process. You know, I think a lot of the things that school districts have talked about, areas of need, you know, for their students and opportunities for additional investments, you know, those are not new conversations. They've been talked about for, you know, really for a decade or so, you know, since Foundation Aid, again, the state's main operating aid category for schools, since that was enacted in 2007 and, you know, really hasn't been fully funded almost immediately. So there are all these things that school districts have said, you know, if we had this funding, we could do X, Y, Z. So I think a lot of those conversations are obviously going to pick back up because now a lot more of them are realistic. You know, there is going to need to be a balance between the short and long term, as you noted, because the federal stimulus funding is one-time funding. It's obviously a significant pot of money statewide, but you know, there's going to need to be some thoughtful conversations about what are the areas of investment that make the most sense to reflect the short-term, the one-time nature of that funding. It can be stretched out over a couple years, but it is one-time funding. On the other side of the coin, you know, the increases in state aids are formula-based, so those tend to be a little bit more dependable and long-term in a perfect world for school districts. So, again, you know, a lot of opportunities that school districts are going to be able to kind of take advantage of both in the short term and the long term due to the nature of this funding.
One of the things we spoke about yesterday, Brian, was this Foundation Aid, and a lot of supporters now of the state's new taxation, you know, you have this constant stream now of revenue that'll be available even if the federal funding kind of goes away in the next couple of years as projected it will. So, you know, the continuing and the expanding as far as the school money is concerned, again, this foundation aid, this constant stream, and that would be for the next couple of years. So, you know, you're looking at giving a lot of the locals now, the schools, a lot of assurances, and you're talking about a lot of support that they would need because of this. But that is the key when it comes to all this stuff regarding the education system, is the foundation aid, and I thought that was key here.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, when in December, when Congress, you know, passed the stimulus 2.0, for lack of a better term, and provided, you know, some dedicated funding, $3 or $4 billion or so for schools, you know, there was obviously, you know, some level of excitement about that, but recognized the fact that that was one-time funding, and unless there was something on the state side to support that, you know, we would be certainly pleased with that funding, but it would create kind of a fiscal cliff type situation 2, 3, 4 years out when that federal money goes away if there's nothing on the state side to support that. So, you know, with this budget that was finalized, I think the Assembly passed their final bills just before midnight last night. With the state aid, you know, the foundation aid component, like you said, we kind of get the best of both worlds. You know, we have the significant short-term infusion of federal stimulus dollars that will allow districts to address some of those cost increases, you know, associated with the pandemic over the past year and make some targeted investments to help with, you know, the learning loss and different educational challenges that our students have seen over the past year, mainly due to the pandemic. But then, you know, the foundation aid significant increase in year one. But as you noted, that commitment and longer term commitment to fully fund that formula, you know, based on additional state revenues, really allows districts to also plan longer term and look at those areas of investments and opportunities in support of our students, you know, bolstering academic enrichment, adding social emotional supports and, you know, facilities upgrades and updates. Really, you know, kind of there's going to be a wide buffet of options and opportunities for school districts and their communities to take a look at in support of their students.
The raises include nearly, folks, $32 million for new and expanded public preschool programs. You're talking about 64 districts island-wide, 5,200 or so students. When you look at the numbers, impressive, you know, 29.19, that's a raise for Glen Cove, 1.8, 29.18, South Huntington, give you an example, 20.24%. These are raises. For Hempstead, 16.44%. Brentwood, where are we at now with the schools and the openings and everything else? You know, there has been a lot of back and forth. Teachers' concerns, everything in place, inoculations, youngsters, they can still get the virus. I mean, there's a lot of questions here. Where are you at as far as the mindset is concerned? Because, I mean, let's face it, remote learning and everything else, I think the consensus is it just doesn't work. We've got to get these kids back in the schools. I mean, if the inoculations are happening at record speed right now, you heard the president April 19th, those eligible, wants the shot, gets the shot. Where are we at right now in your mind as far as the schools, the opening and everything else? If we look to the fall, maybe even the summer as far as getting some stuff in. Where are you at right now?
Yeah, I think certainly, you know, it continues to be a really unique challenge. We recognize that, you know, different districts, different communities, different families are going to have, you know, different needs and interests and priorities. You know, we want and we advocate for, you know, both on the regulatory side and the financial side for school districts to be able to do what works best for them. You know, so I think on the fiscal side, you know, this significant infusion of money will help support districts, especially in the short term, with any barriers to, you know, moving from hybrid to full in-person or full remote to hybrid or any combination thereof. You know, so the fiscal side will help address some of those barriers. You know, on the regulatory side, we don't pretend to be, you know, health and science experts. We, on a good day, are education experts. And so, you know, we want to follow what the best health and science guidance is. Obviously, a couple weeks ago, the CDC did suggest that it would be okay for schools to move from 6 feet social distancing to 3 foot social distancing. So we have encouraged the State Department of Health to update the state's guidance, which school districts in New York have to follow, to conform with the CDC recommendations. I think that will allow for districts that want to, if it makes sense for them, you know, to reduce some of that social distancing appropriately, you know, with other kind of standard health and safety protocols, to allow some additional inclusion and movement into the classroom. But yeah, you know, this is not going to be a short-term thing. There are going to be challenges, obviously, with the rest of the school year and, you know, throughout the summer and into the new school year. So it's going to be a process. I do anticipate, you know, probably a number of districts using this influx of especially the federal stimulus funding, but additional foundation aid as well, to perhaps expand some, you know, optional summer school programming in support of students who may have experienced, you know, learning loss if they were, you know, remote or mostly remote during this past year. So, you know, we want, you know, we're looking forward to a day when the pandemic is over completely. And, you know, these complications and questions, you know, don't exist in a meaningful way. But we want to provide all the support financially and regulatory to districts to make sure that they can pursue what works best for them and their families and their students and their communities.
All in all, I would say it looks pretty good. Let's hope everything is smooth as far as the transition is concerned, but it looks like it's a pretty good deal for in and around. Let's get these schools open. That is absolutely the key right now. Since you have the vaccine and everything else, there have been changes, safety and everything else in place, and that is a good thing. Brian Fessler, representing the New York State School Boards Association. Sir, good stuff. Well done on the explanation of it all, and we'll talk soon. How's that?
Jay, thank you so much.